It's Moneybox Live this afternoon. Louise Cooper is here now to tell us more.
The new car market is booming in Britain. 2.7 million new cars were registered last year, and just under half were to private buyers, individuals. 85% used some form of debt, loans which added up to £18 billion in 2016. So are you one of those? Are you thinking about buying a car? Do you want to know more about your financing options? What about the choice between new and second-hand? Whatever your question, please call 03700 100 444. Lines are open for your calls now. Or, of course, email us, moneybox@bbc.co.uk.
Thanks, Louise. And Moneybox Live is at 3 o'clock this afternoon here on BBC Radio 4. Well, now we begin a new series of the playwright Roy Williams' crime drama, The Interrogation. Today, the detective duo interview Beverly, whose father has gone missing.
The Interrogation by Roy Williams.
I suppose that it was my nephew, David, that made me think I should find my dad. David was getting married. For some reason, he had a bee in his bonnet about wanting to know more about our side of the family. Funny thing is, it was never difficult for us to find the old man. We all knew where he went when he upped and left us when I was two. Birmingham. But when I was a kid, I used to tell my friends in school it was America. He sounded more interesting going to America than he did going to Birmingham. Anyway, we all had a sense of where he was in Brummyland. It was hardly an effort. 3 or 4 calls to a family friend via a few cousins once or twice removed was all it took to find out where he was living. As soon as David got the address, he drove up there to meet the old so-and-so and invite him to his wedding. Dad ran out on us when I was 2. But the last time I saw him was when I was 10. Was it 11? It was a Saturday morning. I could hear Mum and my brother Winston arguing about something in the kitchen. Winston then comes into my room and tells me to put my clothes on. He's taking me outside to meet Dad. My first meeting with him since he left. I remember saying straight off, "Who's Dad?" He took my hand. We walked out of the house and there he was. My dad. Just sitting there in the back of a taxi. Smoking a cigarette, wearing a pork pie hat. Mum never spoke of him once, so he was completely alien to me. I had no idea who he was. It was like he was waiting for me to speak. For a moment, I thought he was going to get out of the taxi and walk towards me, but he didn't. He just stepped back into the taxi and closed the door. The only thing I heard him say was, "Get me out of here." I just watched him and the taxi drive off. That was that. That was my relationship with my father. Or at least I thought so at the time. I remember having goosebumps on the day of David's wedding. I was so curious to see him again after all these years. He was in his 90s, old and frail like any other 90-year-old would be, but he was making jokes, flirting with all the women still, wearing that same pork pie hat. He was everything everyone in the family had said about him. When Mum died a year later, I saw Dad again for the funeral. He was living in a home, due to his second wife, my stepmum, having been dead for 2 years. I don't know why. I really don't, but it seemed right to ask him to come and live with me. Winston said it was because I have always had a need to look after someone. Just seemed like the right thing to do at the time.
Matthews? Right. Okay, send her up.
She's here.
Oh, I thought you were getting rid of that annoying ringtone next.
I am. I just haven't got round to it yet.
You mean you don't know how to do it?
Lord knows why they call them smartphones. I could never work out a bleeding thing on them.
Says it all, really. Just give it to me later, I'll sort it out for you.
My hero.
So, Beverly, right?
That's right. But she likes to be called Bev, according to uniform. Look in the file, Sean.
I am looking in the file. Nowhere does it say Bev. Why would it?
I think the name is there several times, in fact.
Right, and?
So, why ask for a name when you have the case file right there in your hand?
I'm just making conversation. It's a rhetorical question, Max. What's the problem?
Just read up.
You know I'm not a DC anymore, right?
Oh, I know. You can't stop telling me.
You're always like this when we get one of these.
And a what?
A case.
We get cases all the time. Like those two geezers on the telly that get numbers all of the time.
What geezers?
Oh, you know that show.
No, I don't know.
The one on the telly.
What, are you feeling all right, Max? You're starting to worry me a little there.
Person of interest, that's it. Cracking show. You seen it?
No, Max, can't say that I have.
Well, I have. Cracking show.
Yeah, you told me. Right, meanwhile, back down on planet Earth, we have Beverly Walters, aged 48, who's about to walk through that door any moment.
Bev.
Sorry?
She likes to be called Bev. Let's remember that. We can use that.
All right, then. Bev it is.
Not all of the time, Sean. Just sporadically, like a torture.
Yes, Dad.
I see your cheek.
Is it me or you talking to me like when we first met?
So you do remember?
Remember what?
It was 5 years ago, today, when you plonked your arse on my desk, introduced yourself to me. It was like a stork was bringing me a newborn child.
Oh, you are joking. 5 years? I was wondering why you're more than your usual cranky self. Oh, you thought I'd forgotten.
You had forgotten.
My apologies. Beer's on me afterwards, yeah? You're going to smile now and then we can deal with Beverly. Or should I say Bev?
We only use Bev.
Sporadically, yes, I heard. 5 years, eh, Max? Can you remember our first?
It was that footballer, wasn't it? Rod something?
Yeah, Rod Tyler.
That's the fella. Mm. We did him for assault, wasn't it?
Rape, actually.
Was he guilty?
The jury did find him guilty, if I recall.
Not the jury, Sean.
And then what do you mean?
I meant us. Did we think he was guilty when he was sitting here in this room?
We had him, Max, banged to rights, if I recall.
But what did we think?
Well, you know what we thought. We felt he was wrong from the second we laid eyes on him.
This Bev Walters.
Oh, Beverly. We use Bev sporadically.
Yeah, thank you, my very own smart Henny. This Beverly.
What about her?
Do you think she's guilty?
Well, it's not looking good.
No, it isn't. Let's just get on with it. Come in.
Miss Beverly Walters.
Oh, thanks, Chrissy. How do you do, Miss Walters?
It's Bev, or Beverly. Your choice.
Right, you are then, Beverly. I'm D.S. Sean Armitage, but you can call me Sean. This is D.I. Matthews.
Max to my friends.
Right, you are then, Max.
Please, have a seat.
Right.
Can we get you anything? Tea? Water?
Water will be fine.
Oh, coming up.
We have drinks machines in every interview room.
Times we're living in.
Right, here's your water.
Oh, thank you.
Just let us know if you need any more, Beverly.
No, I will, thanks. I came as soon as I could.
Yes, you did.
All this must be really hard for you.
I'm coping.
Well, that is good.
Coping, that is.
We would all go mad otherwise.
Yes, I do suppose so. Well, I'm here. Your uniformed officers said you may have some news for me.
Is that what they said?
Well, they're most clear about it. And that I should come down to the station at once, so... do you know where my father is? Have you found him?
Beverly, before we begin, it is our duty to inform you that you do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention, when questioned, something which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
All right, but is that absolutely necessary?
I'm afraid it is.
Very well.
It's also our duty to inform you that you are not under arrest.
Arrest? Arrest for what?
Nothing. We're just letting you know of your rights. May I continue?
Yes. Yes, of course.
It is our duty to inform you that you are not under arrest and you are entitled to a solicitor at any time. You understand, Beverly?
Yes, I understand. I've done nothing wrong, you know.
Is there any reason for us to think that you have, Beverly?
I think that should be my question.
Do you wish to have a solicitor?
Oh, like I said, I've done nothing wrong except lose my father.
We do wish to find him, Beverly, very much.
It's what he deserves to be found.
Funny.
Funny what?
It's what Dad used to say.
He deserved to be found?
No, no, no. The bit when you said, it's what he deserves. Mm. He always had a thing about that.
Had?
Surely you mean has.
No, yeah. I mean had. He never says it as much now. Not since he was diagnosed with dementia.
Why don't you tell us about it?
I'm sorry, but isn't there something you should be telling me? That is why I'm here. I was told that you have news.
Sorry, Beverly, we're just playing a little bit of catch-up right now. We're only just giving a case.
That's quite all right.
All right, so, what did he think he deserved, Beverly?
Everything. Respect was a big thing for Dad. Served in the RAF during the war.
He must have been very young to do that.
He was. 18, just turned. Couldn't wait to enlist, according to my mother. Felt it was his duty to come over to the mother country, help it in its time of need.
Good on him. I assume he must have got a lot of respect then from everyone, fighting in the war.
First, yeah. But when he was demobbed and decided to come back here to England to help this country rebuild itself after the war, not so much.
Let me guess, he saw the signs. No Irish, no blacks, no dogs in every hotel window.
Well, you know your history. You'd be surprised to know how many people don't. How many kids out there find it hard to believe we were young as well once?
I know what you mean.
Do you?
Yes.
How old are you?
Well, I'm old enough.
He's a pup compared to the likes of us, isn't he, Bev?
He has no idea.
So, about your dad, Beverly. But he was shown no respect.
The way he was treated when he came back. That was the first in a long line of rants about how he deserved respect, that he was entitled to it, even though he did wrong.
How often did he do wrong?
So often they lost count.
Who is they?
My family. Brothers.
Well, would you like to share a moment when your father did wrong?
Running out on us when we were little was one. Right. He would say he did that because he was not getting the respect he was due from any of us, especially Mum. She did not appreciate how hard he was trying to find work. So his answer... to leave us all behind.
It sounds like you don't like your father very much.
He says I have to like him.
No one, Beverly.
No one at all.
But I do love him.
Even though he ran out on you when you were...
2. I was 2 years old.
So you never saw him again after you left?
No, in fact, I didn't set eyes on him again until I was 11.
Your father?
Yes.
The man you say you loved?
With all my heart. Must be hard for you to understand.
Quite the opposite, Bev.
We understand all too well.
It's what we're paid for, isn't that right, Sean?
Completely, mate.
We talk to human beings at their very worst.
5 years now.
Our anniversary.
Well, perhaps the two of you should celebrate.
Perhaps.
Perhaps we will.
You said you deal with human beings at their worst. Does that also include me?
Well, it depends.
On what?
If you are.
Are what?
At your worst.
My father has been missing for 3 days. What do you think?
The same father who left you behind.
When you were 2 years old?
You didn't see again until you were 11 years old.
That father, Beverly?
Yes, that father. The same father who had never left my mind, who I did not go through a single day without thinking about whether I liked it or not. That father.
The one you cared for?
The one I still care for.
You are the sole and only carer, aren't you, Beverly?
One and only, that is right. You are quite correct. Me, just me.
I imagine it cannot be easy looking after him.
What makes you say that?
Well, he has dementia, right? You said so yourself.
I manage.
You must have other members of your family helping out when you need to.
No.
No?
Just me.
You? Just you?
Is there an echo in here? Yes, me.
So, you are an only child?
You know I'm not.
Actually, Beverly, we don't know that.
We don't know anything at all except your name, your father's name, and the fact he has been reported missing for 3 days.
I know he was reported missing. He was reported missing by me, his daughter.
That we know as well.
So what are you going to do about that? I was told you had some news for me.
We are doing it, Beverly.
It's not just us in this room.
We're very keen to find your father.
You are?
You must believe.
I do, thank you.
So, if you have siblings...
There is no if about it. I do have siblings. 3, in fact. 3 brothers. 1 younger, 1 older, and another, a half-brother living somewhere in Birmingham. Winston is the oldest, Dwight the youngest, and little old me slap bang in the middle.
Winston and Dwight.
I believe that's what I said.
Well, you said three. Who's the third one?
The third is Errol.
Mm. He's the one living in Birmingham, I assume?
You assume correctly.
I take it he had Errol after your parents' divorce.
I never said they divorced.
But you said he left you all.
Oh, yeah, he did that all right. But my parents never divorced each other. Mum never saw the point. She vowed never to let a man get close to her again, and she kept that vow.
Winston and Dwight.
What about them?
Well, it's not who they are that interests me right now, but their names.
Yes, go on.
Good names, strong names. Some would say heroic names.
Dad liked to think so. He gave respect as much as he wanted it.
Liked, Bev?
Excuse me?
You said your dad liked to think
so. All right, likes then, if that makes you happy.
My happiness is irrelevant.
So, am I right in thinking...
What are you thinking, Inspector?
You can call me Max.
What are you thinking, Max?
That Winston, your brother, was named after Winston Churchill.
Keep going.
And Dwight after Eisenhower.
Old star for you, Max.
War heroes. I see what you were getting at when you say your father commanded respect.
Command is not the word I would use. Or like beg, crave.
Right, so what war hero was Errol named after?
Flynn, as in Errol.
Famous movie star back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've seen his films.
Mum said, if I was a boy, Dad would have named me George.
After Patton?
That's right.
He could have cheated a little bit, perhaps called you Georgina.
Yeah, he could. Mum also said Dad had a thing for the Beverly sisters.
I thought as much.
Did you remember them as well, Max?
I remember them. My dad loved them as well.
When I was born, Mum wanted to name me Hortense after her mother. Can you imagine interviewing a woman named Hortense?
It doesn't sound so bad.
Look me in the eye and say that again.
All right, it sounds bad.
Mm-hmm. Before she could leave the hospital, Dad went to the registry office and named me Beverly. The only thing I'm grateful to him for.
The only thing?
We're hearing a bit of resentment there, Beverly.
It's not resentment. It's just tiredness.
Do you get tired a lot, Bev?
You have no idea.
Well, why didn't your brothers help out?
I will tell you why if you really want to know.
We'd really like to know.
On the rare moments when he felt like it, I would say about a year or so ago, Winston came round to visit. Yeah. He went upstairs to the bathroom and he saw me and Dad.
Saw you?
What did your brother see, Beverly?
He saw me wiping my father's arse for him.
I see.
What? That the sight of that scared my brother half to death? If the answer is yes, Max, then I'm glad. I'm so glad that you see. Winston could not get out of the house fast enough. It's not every day you see your own father like that, is it? Sorry if I've shocked you.
You have not shocked us.
Yeah, not at all, Bev.
That's probably because you've both eaten your lunch already.
You're quite a humorous person, Bev.
Life I have. I have to be.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Thought I was telling you.
My apologies.
You're forgiven.
Just take your time.
About what?
Well, whatever it is you want to tell us, Beverly.
We're here.
About your brother Winston. He couldn't handle seeing your father like that.
And he left it all to me. Like he always does. Because in his mind, I have nothing better to do. Dwight as well, for that matter.
And why do they think that?
Oh, I'm unmarried. I have no children. I haven't had a relationship for God knows how long. Do the maths.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? You remind me of people who always ask me if I have any regrets not having children. You should see the look on their faces when I ask them if they regret having any. It's always guaranteed to kill any conversation stone cold dead. I've emptied out rooms based on that response.
So your brother's left you with total care of your father?
I don't mean to be rude, detectives. Mm-hmm. But do you not think it might be time to answer some of my questions, like why am I here?
Beverly.
What news do you have?
Just bear with us, please.
So, your brother's left you with total care of your father?
Yeah, well, to be fair, they do send money. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, back only when I'm down to my last penny and I'm screaming at them down the telephone. I've even threatened to leave Dad on their doorstep if they didn't put their hand in their pocket. No way do they want to be the ones who are pulling up their father's underpants. You will never in your life ever see two grown men give out money so quick.
You could have put your father in a home, Bev. Why didn't you?
You still could. Why don't you put your father in a home?
Those places cost money. A lot of money. Money me and my brothers do not have. And the ones that don't cost money have a waiting list. You believe that? A waiting list. There are only 6 care homes in the entire borough, and when I last checked, each of them had waiting lists as long as this table. My dad would have to wait for at least 30 people in front of him in each care home to die. You see the problem?
I do. You were running out of options.
We were running out of options, Max.
I beg your pardon. I meant to say you were all running out of options. My mistake.
You don't strike me as a man who makes many mistakes.
And you don't strike me as a woman who easily loses control.
And how do I strike you?
As someone who knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah. I know what I'm doing. I am looking for my father.
When did you last see him?
Oh, I went through this with your uniformed colleagues.
Just for us.
Helps us build a picture.
In our minds, that is.
You two are quite the double act, aren't you?
You're not the first person to have told us that.
Nor the last.
Your father, Beverly.
When did you last see him?
Last Tuesday morning, around 8 a.m, like I told the uniformed police.
We know.
But tell us.
Take your time.
Leave nothing out whenever you are ready.
I am ready. Do you think I'm stalling?
Of course not, Beverly. Are you?
Why would you be stalling?
I'm not stalling.
Let's try again. You saw your father at 8 a.m.
Yes.
At home?
Yes.
Was he up or was he in bed?
He was in bed. Sometimes he sleeps through the morning. Doesn't usually get up until about 10 a.m. I boil an egg for him, butter 2 slices of bread for him and leave it on the kitchen table for him before I go to work.
But not on Tuesday?
Not on Tuesday.
What had happened?
I had to get him out of bed.
Why was that?
I had to.
But why, Beverly?
Beverly? Why?
He'd soiled it. All over. He must have done it during the night and just slept in it. I mean, who does that? What kind of man could sleep in his... God.
The kind of man, I suppose, who is very ill, who is not in complete control of his body anymore. But I think you know that already, don't you?
Truth is, I blame myself. I got up during the night for a glass of water. I didn't notice. Or maybe I did. I just didn't want to deal with it.
With the smell, you're saying you didn't want to deal with it?
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, there was no escaping it the following morning. It stank the house out. And Dad was just lying in it, for God's sake, lying in it. I had to do something.
You had to do something?
Yes.
What, Beverly?
What did you have to do?
Well, I had to wake him up, of course.
Right.
I had to open all the windows as well as the front door.
The windows?
Of course you did.
It was unbearable, the smell.
I can imagine.
It was because he didn't wear his pads.
Pads?
Special pads he has to wear in case of accidents. I know they must be embarrassing, but I have told him 100 times over and over he has got to wear them. It's like he does it just to spite me, you know? Never mind the fact that I must be the one in the family who actually gives the damn.
Right, you are.
Can't imagine the strain that must have put you on.
You have no idea at all.
Carry on.
I opened all the doors and windows, like I said. I got him out of bed, straight into the shower. Oh, he was not happy about that.
I bet he wasn't.
Well, that must have made you angry, Bev.
Angry? Again, you...
I have no idea. I get it.
He just wandered around like he was in a daze. No idea what he had done. I yelled at him and screamed at him, in fact. How could he not know? How could he not see, not even smell? I said I hated him. I said I wished it was...
What, Beverly?
You said you wished he was... What did you wish he was, Beverly?
That he wasn't my father. That this had all been a serious mistake. Dwight always had his doubts. I told him to shut up. He wasn't even born when Dad left. Whether I like it or not, he was my father.
You mean he is your father?
You know, you remind me of how I am with my pupils at school. If I was given a pound for every time I had to show one of them the difference between the present tense and the past tense...
Oh, I don't mean any offence.
Apology accepted.
Just want to get to the truth.
As do I.
We will. Tell us what happened after the smell. You gave your father a shower?
So he came out of the shower. I dried him. Helped him put on some new clothes. Or should I say, I put them on for him.
Well, no should about it. If that is what you did, that is what you did.
I was already an hour late for work. I told him that I was sorry for sharing him. That I loved him. I almost forgot. I put the soiled sheets into the washing machine. I gave them a good wash. And I closed the windows and doors.
Did your father go back to bed?
No, he went to sit on his armchair in the living room, watch television, if you can call it that.
Why? What do you mean by that?
I mean, he just sits there. He sits there and watches the screen. He watches the screen, not the programme. I mean, I picked up the remote and switched channels right in front of him just to see what he'd do. Do you know what he did? Mm. Nothing. He just kept on sitting there.
And that day was no different.
Why would it be?
And then what?
I left him alone, that is what. I picked up my keys and left for work.
What time did you come back?
6 p.m. or just after, but it depends.
On what, Beth?
If the train is running on time. There's been a lot of cancellations lately. You not notice?
You don't drive to work?
How do you know I have a car?
Uniforms say there was one parked outside your house.
It could have belonged to one of my brothers.
Yes.
But did it?
Sorry?
Did the car belong to one of your brothers, Beverly?
No, it's my car. Hmm. I just choose not to travel in it sometimes.
So you didn't that day?
No, I didn't. I left my father in the living room with his television, then I left. And that was the last time I saw him.
Well, you went looking for him, I assume?
Yes.
When you came home?
Yes.
You assumed he'd wandered off, of course?
Of course, yes. He has done this before.
According to you, several times.
According to me?
Yes or no, Bev?
Yes. He has done this several times before.
But he has not been gone for as long as this, though.
That is correct, Sean.
You sound like my English teacher, Beverly. Mrs. McKenna.
She give you a hard time?
Oh, every day, for 3 whole years. God, I thought she hated me.
Well, it's like I always tell my pupils, in the vain hope that they are listening and not typing something silly away on their phones. The people who give you the hardest time in life, usually the ones who love you the most.
Did your father love you the most, Bev?
What a question?
Well, from what you said, he gave you one heck of a hard time.
Well, that's true. But love? No idea. Perhaps he knew what love was but was unable to give it. He gave nothing away. Even before he was diagnosed with dementia. God, what a morning that was.
Morning?
Nurse came round once, do some simple tests on him. Not only could he not tell you who the Prime Minister was or who Barack Obama was, he couldn't tell the nurse what day it was. He hadn't forgotten. He just didn't know. And the nurse showed him a picture of a horse. A horse. He couldn't say what it was. He didn't know. Well, then I had to excuse myself. I went into the kitchen and cried my eyes out. Nurse didn't need to say anything. I knew already what she was going to say. My father has Alzheimer's. The big A. Used to be the big C back in our day, wasn't it, Max? Back then it was all about cancer.
Where did you go, Bev?
Go?
When you went looking for your dad?
Everywhere.
What is everywhere?
It's important you tell us, Beverly.
I am telling you.
So you know?
Well, of course I know.
Please.
The park. He has a favourite bench there. There was an old pub at the end of Drummond Road, the Cat and Whiskers. He liked to drink in there before it was knocked down. It's a Waitrose now. He even went to Victoria Station.
Victoria?
Coach station?
Oh, yeah.
Thought he might have been trying to get a coach back to Birmingham, which is where he was before he came to us.
You mean before he came back to you?
Oh, when you put it like that, yes.
Did you use your car?
No. It's only a short walk to the station.
It could have saved you some time.
Oh, God, maybe. I don't know. I just got the tube, all right?
All right. Calm down.
Please. What else?
So your father has done this before?
Wandered off with me?
Yes.
Yet you have never contacted the police?
Of course not.
And why is that, Bev?
Because he always came home.
But you didn't know that?
Well, I'd be on the verge of doing so when he would show up, like there was nothing wrong.
Yes, I see.
I'm not sure I do.
Well, Max,
you said you left home at 9 in the morning.
Yes.
You were late because you had to wash your soiled sheets.
Oh, please. Yes, that is correct.
And you didn't arrive home until 6?
Just after, I think, but yes, around 6.
And you found your father was missing?
That is correct. Where is this going?
According to uniform, you called the police to report your father was missing at 6:25 p.m.
All right.
All right, is it?
If you say so.
I do say so, Beth.
Max, what are you doing?
I'm trying to get to the truth, Beverly. I want you to tell me the truth before I have to tell it to you.
You tell me the truth, Max. Tell me what it is. Tell me what you think you know.
You called the police at 6:25 to report your dad was missing.
You said so. You know I did.
And in between coming home and calling us, you searched the park, a pub that isn't there anymore, and went to Victoria Station, all in under 25 minutes.
And I may have been wrong about Victoria Station.
Oh, Beverly, come on.
And then I was.
It's time for you to help us help you, Beverly.
I said I was wrong.
You said it may have been wrong.
I am wrong.
All right, so what were you wrong about?
I did go to Victoria Station.
Right, okay.
But it was after I informed the police when I gave my initial statement.
I see. Oh, forgive me, Max, but I'm not sure that I'm seeing it too clearly now.
By all means, Sean, far away.
Beverly, you say your father's wandered off before?
Yes.
Well, how many times? 3, 4?
Yeah, I would say that.
Say what?
About 3 or 4 times, like you said.
Well, I'd rather it was what you said. Just so I can be clear, you know where we all stand.
Four times. It was 4 times. I remember now.
And you never called the police before then?
No, I didn't.
But this time you did.
Right.
Well, why now, Beverly? Why now and not those other times? Take your time.
But not too long.
I said I was on the verge of calling you.
But he always came back.
Yes, he came back. Is that my fault? Am I to blame?
Depends.
Depends on what?
On what you are to blame for. Why did you call the police on Tuesday? Why did you not contact us on any of the other 4 times? What was it about this disappearance that got you worried?
I was just worried. I had a feeling.
You had a feeling? What feeling?
When your dad went missing before, how long did you wait before you decided to call the police?
But I didn't call the police.
I mean, how long did you wait before you were on the verge of calling them? A couple of hours?
Oh, please! So?
Are you unwell?
No, I just need some time.
Time?
To work this out.
Work this out?
Could you be searching for the truth, Beverly?
What would you rather have me tell you?
We would like you to tell us where he is.
Where is your father, Beverly?
You need to tell us what you've done with him.
And you need to tell us now.
Is he dead, Beverly?
How can you ask these things? Is he dead?
Beverly?
How can you ask me? How dare you?
Is your father dead?
My father, as you call him.
What would you call him?
My father. Did nothing but come in and out of my life like he had a right, like it was a norm. Do you have any idea what that is like? To grow up like that, to feel that you are nothing but a mistake. All you have then is 2 choices. You either have children and you screw up their lives like your parents screwed up yours, and if you don't believe me with that, ask Winston, my brother. 7 children he has, count them, 7, scattered all over London, and he does not have a single relationship with any of them. Dwight has 3 of his own, and does he see any of them? Does he spend any time with any of them? Are you seeing a pattern here, either of you?
We are beginning to. And what about you, Beverly?
Oh, yes, me, little old Beverly, reliable Beverly. The only one muggy enough, stupid enough to take our dad on when he had nowhere else to go. I swore I was never going to be like him.
Your dad?
Or my brothers. I grew up believing I was better than them. I wasn't going to hurt anybody the way my dad did. That was why I decided not to have children of my own. That is why I chose never to get married or become too involved with anyone. My life, whatever it would be, would come first.
But then your dad showed up.
He showed up.
He became ill.
He became ill like he did it on purpose.
That wasn't in the script now, was it?
It was nowhere near. I am as selfish with my life as my dad was. Him showing up again. That was my punishment.
Where is he, Beverly?
I wish you would stop asking me
that. I shall as soon as you tell us.
You have nothing to prove. I have done nothing
wrong. Is this how you want to play it, Beverly? You want to do it the hard way? That is fine by us.
Because, you see, it was Uniform who put us onto this, Beverly. There was something about your initial report, something you said, that did not seem right.
So we did a little digging of our own. Would you like to know what we found?
Beverly, would you like to know?
Let us tell you anyway. Now, these are a series of pictures of the outside of your house. This car, the blue Ford Mondeo, is registered to you, I believe. The next picture clearly shows the blue Mondeo pulling out of your driveway. We had this picture blown up. As you can see, there is a person driving this Mondeo, and that person looks very much like you.
How did you...
How do you think, Beverly?
There is a CCTV camera on your road. Didn't you notice it?
There are so many these days, you just take them for granted.
Fortunate for us, not so fortunate for those who break the law.
Look at the times, Beverly. You are pulling out of your driveway at 8:20 a.m. driving towards the high street.
We managed to get access to the CCTV cameras along the high road, so we were able to track you as far as the roundabout, then we lost you.
But, as you can see, we found you again when you drove back to your house at 10:15. Now, as you see, the trees from your next-door neighbour obscures our vision of the boot of your car. Is that where you did it?
Did what?
Put the body of your father into the boot of your car.
And you drove him where, Beverly?
What are you talking about?
We're talking about a possible murder, Beverly.
No.
Beverly,
I said no.
This is serious. You need to help yourself here.
It's lies. It's lies.
We contacted your school. You did not arrive for work until 11:45.
What were you doing between 8:29 and 10 a.m., Beverly?
Burying your father.
Why would I do that?
Because you killed him.
No.
I'm sure you didn't mean
it. No.
You snapped, Beverly.
Things were getting on top of you.
Well, of course they would.
It would break anybody having to deal with all of that.
No help whatsoever from your family?
No help from anybody?
I had help. I had offers of help.
Then why didn't you take any? Why didn't you accept any help?
We know about the social worker.
And your neighbour, the one with the trees.
Did you know your neighbour reported you to social services?
Beverly?
Did you know?
I know. Told her to mind her own business.
The social worker who visited you could see you were not coping. She offered you a care package. That would have helped you with your father. Why didn't you take their offer of help?
Why should I?
Because you were not coping.
I'd be like him.
Him?
Who is him, Beverly?
My father. My dad. He gave up on me. He gave up on all of us like we didn't matter, when in fact we should have mattered most of all. He gave up. Winston gave up on his kids, and Dwight too. I didn't want to be like him. I wasn't giving up on him. I wasn't giving up on me.
But you did give up.
No!
Beverly.
No! Leave me alone!
We can't do that.
Not until we know where your father is.
Where is he, Beverly?
The park. The route you were taking leads to the park.
Is that where he is, Beverly? Lying in the woods somewhere?
No!
Well, then where, Beverly?
You need to tell us.
Beverly, would it help if I told you I know exactly where you're coming from, know what you must be feeling?
Max, I like you, but you have no idea what I am feeling.
That is where you were wrong. My wife died a few years ago.
My father isn't dead. It just disappeared.
Please, allow me to finish. It was worse towards the end, all that pain she was enduring. Like, she was blaming me. She hated me because she was sick. She hated me because I could see her like that. Well, I hated her for the same reason. I hated having to change her. I hated the fact that I could smell death all over her.
Did you ever want to
harm her, kill her, you know? I thought about it sometimes.
Excuse me.
It's all right, Sean.
I'm not sure it is.
The answer is no. No, I didn't, but that was one line I couldn't cross, but I understand. I understand how close that is. When he sold the sheets that morning, how close were you?
Very close. You have no idea.
Oh, I think I'm beginning to.
He was lying in it. All night. And he just stood there smelling of it with that cheeky smile off his, still believing he had the gift of the gab. I was so angry.
What did you do?
All I did was push him. I pushed him away from me because he stank. He fell and hit his head against the shower floor. That was it. That's all it was. I swear.
Beverly, it's my duty to inform you you are now under arrest on suspicion of murder. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention, when questioned, something which you like to rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence. Do you understand?
Yes.
We need to make a statement, a recorded one. We will also see about getting you appointed a duty solicitor.
I don't want one.
Oh, but you need one. They can help you, Beverly. Let someone help you. All right?
You went a little off script there, Max.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. Right towards the end.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
No, it wasn't a criticism, Max. Just merely an observation.
Okay, then.
Just would have been nice if you kept me in the loop, that's all.
So it is a criticism.
Only a little one. Just caught me off guard, that's all.
I felt we needed it. Change of tactics, you know. Well, it worked, didn't it? She confessed. Another notch in her bedpost.
Do you mind?
We knew she was guilty from the start, right?
Right.
We played her game, but she wasn't biting, was she?
Who cares? The evidence had her banged to rights.
And think of all the time we saved from going to trial.
All right, fine. You had me at hello. Good call. You never told me, though.
Told you what?
About your wife. That was true, what you said, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was true.
You blamed her for getting sick.
I blamed her for forcing me to entertain the possibility of life without her. She smelt of death, Sean. I know what that means. I know exactly what Beverly means, how easily you can snap like that.
But you didn't, did you?
Did you just say, did you?
No, don't blow a fuse. It was only a question.
Sean, I didn't. I have a question for you, though. Do you think she's guilty?
She killed her dad and left his body in the park, Max.
Yeah, I know all that.
Then what are we waiting for, eh?
Pop. Do you think she was guilty, Sean? Do you think she really meant to kill him?
That's not up to us.
Are you stalling?
No, I'm not.
You're stalling.
All right, fine, I'm stalling.
Guilty, yes or no?
Yes.
Guilty, you say, as Rod Tyner or Tommy or Kelly?
No, not quite as guilty as any of them, I grant you. But the law's the law. You break it, you face us. It's as simple as.
Where are you getting that phrase from, simple as?
Huh?
Another one of those ghastly American shows that you watch? They're doing something to your brain, you know.
Is there a point to this? Because if so, I'd like to get to it before my next birthday.
In all of my years on this job, I've put away a lot of guilty people, but out of those, I could count on one hand the ones who I think really deserve to go down.
Is there a difference?
Oh, yes, big difference. I'm not talking about the ones who do unbelievably stupid things at the worst time of their lives, because, let's face it, they make up 90% of our work rate.
Mm.
I'm talking about evil, Sean, pure evil.
No, you're talking about a world where we live in black and white. I can't help you, Max.
I would like to have a word with Beverly's so-called brothers. I'll tell you that for free. Why didn't she let someone help her?
Well, I can't help you there either, Max. Come on now. Hey, pub.
Yeah, you owe me a pint, right? Oh. You're round.
It's always my round.
I've told you a million times before, Sean.
Don't exaggerate.
And Sean.
Yes, Dad?
Happy anniversary, son.
In The Interrogation, by Roy Williams, Max was played by Kenneth Cranham, Sean by Alex Lanipetton, and Beverly by Ajwa Ando. The director was Mary Pete.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. The government has begun the process of leaving the EU. Theresa May told MPs it was an historic moment and there was no turning back. The president of the European Commission, Donald Tusk, said it wasn't a happy day, but he promised to begin arrangements for an orderly withdrawal during the next 2 years of talks. From Westminster, Robin Crystal reports.
Theresa May has promised that Britain will be stronger, fairer and more outward-looking after Brexit, a country that would be truly global, reaching well beyond Europe's borders. Her conciliatory tone to the 27 other countries she'll have to negotiate with is striking. She pledges to approach the talks constructively, respectfully and in the interests of cooperation, and seeks to form a deeper and special partnership with the EU. In Brussels, the European Council President Donald Tusk, who received her letter triggering Brexit, said, "We already miss you. Thank you and goodbye."
In her letter to Mr. Tusk, the Prime Minister stressed the importance of economic and security cooperation. She said a failure to reach agreement would mean cooperation in the fight against crime and terrorism would be weakened. The Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, told the Commons his party was concerned about how Britain would change as a result of leaving the EU.
Mr. Speaker, the direction the Prime Minister is threatening to take this country in is both reckless and damaging. And Labour will not give this government a free hand to use Brexit to attack rights, protections and cut services, or create a tax dodger's paradise.
A minute's silence has been held at Scotland Yard and on Westminster Bridge to remember the four people who died in the attacks last Wednesday. One person who was seriously injured remains in a coma. Prince William has laid a wreath in memory of Constable Keith Palmer, who was stabbed to death outside the House of Commons. He left his tribute during a visit to the National Memorial Arboretum in Staffordshire. BBC News.
This is BBC Radio 4. Well, it's time now for Moneybox Live with Louise Cooper.
Good afternoon. The new car market is booming in Britain. 2.7 million new cars were registered last year, and private buyers, that's individuals, account for nearly half of those sales. That is close to record highs. 85% use some form of financing, loans which added up to £18 billion. So are you thinking about buying a car, new or second-hand? Are you a cash buyer, or are you looking at some form of financing? What about renting or leasing alternatives? Why not call Moneybox Live on 03700 100 444? Geographic charges apply. Email us, moneybox@bbc.co.uk, or tweet us at Moneybox. That number again, 03700 100 444. Also, please listen out for changes on vehicle excise duty, which come into effect on April the 1st. That may affect your choice of car. And if you're interested in buying electric or a hybrid vehicle, then we have an expert coming on later on that. But first of all, the way we buy and consume cars.